From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns turns our attention to verses 16 through 27 of chapter 10. As defeat in their battle with the army of Israel became apparent, the five heathen kings who had initiated the conflict hid themselves in a cave, hoping to escape from Joshua. Yet, when the battle ended, Joshua did discover them, and they were put to death. From this account, Dr. Cairns will draw some sobering spiritual lessons regarding those who think they can escape the judgment of God. The first truth about those pagan kings is that they were under condemnation for their sin against God. So all who are born into this world are condemned sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is but one way of escape, and that is total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has the power to save sinners. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Judgment Inescapable for Condemned Sinners. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Christ's reign in His church is that of a shepherd king. He has supremacy, but it is the superiority of a wise and tender shepherd over his needy and loving flock. He commands and receives obedience, but it is the willing obedience of the well-cared-for sheep, rendered joyfully to their beloved shepherd, whose voice they know so well. He rules by the force of love and the energy of goodness. His reign is practical in its character. It is said, He shall stand and feed. The great head of the church is actively engaged in providing for His people. He does not sit down upon the throne in empty state or hold a scepter without wielding it in government. No, He stands and feeds. The expression feed in the original is like an analogous one in the Greek, which means to shepherdize, to do everything expected of a shepherd, to guide, to watch, to preserve, to restore, to tend, as well as to feed. His reign is continual in its duration. It is said, He shall stand and feed, not He shall feed now and then and leave His position, not He shall one day grant a revival and the next day leave His church to barrenness. His eyes never slumber, and His hands never rest. His heart never ceases to beat with love, and His shoulders are never weary of carrying His people's burdens. His reign is effectually powerful in its action. He shall feed in the strength of Jehovah. Wherever Christ is, there is God. And whatever Christ does is the act of the Most High. Oh, it is a joyful truth to consider that He who stands today representing the interests of His people is very God of very God, to whom every knee shall bow. Happy are we who belong to such a shepherd, whose humanity communes with us, and whose divinity protects us. Let us worship and bow down before Him as the people of His pasture.
Guilt my own and foolish pride.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Joshua chapter 10. For a couple of large days, I have been drawing your attention to, actually I think for three large days, I've been drawing your attention to the first part of this chapter, and the victory of Joshua over the confederacy of five kings under the headship of the king of Jerusalem. Last time we thought of the longest day. I want us to read the portion, starting at verse 16 down to verse 27, dealing with the attempt to escape and the fate of the five kings who headed up the confederacy in the south against Joshua. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda." And Joshua said, "Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand." And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, "Come near, and put your feet upon the necks of these kings." And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. It came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. After the five kings of the Southern Confederacy had fought and lost the Battle of Beth Horon, they fled for their lives, and they hid in a cave in Makeda. There they hoped to escape the judgment that both God and Joshua had decreed against them. It was a forlorn attempt, for Joshua, knowing their presence there, immediately sealed the cave, held them there until he returned to execute the judgment already determined against them. That scene has a message, not only from history, but a message of prophecy, a message about a greater Joshua and a greater judgment. There are literally millions of sinners who, just like the five kings in the portion we have been reading, fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, and who yet seem for a time to escape the execution of the judgment that has been determined against them. In fact, They are not escaping at all. For like these five kings, they also are simply trapped in a cave of their own choosing, awaiting the certain punishment of every Christ rejecter. Now that is the simple way in which I want us to view this portion of Scripture this morning. I want us to think upon the subject of judgment being inescapable for condemned sinners. Judgment inescapable for condemned sinners. I want us to examine the story we have read and draw from it the necessary truths and lessons. The first thing I note is that these kings were condemned for their sin against God. The Lord had concluded them guilty. He spoke about the cup of their iniquity being filled to overflowing. He drew attention to the wicked abominations which they practiced, the sins of immorality, the sins of idolatry. He constantly touched upon the wickedness of these kings and the nations which they led. He concluded them guilty, and he threatened judgment upon them. As I have been pointing out as we have gone through the book of Joshua, the Lord held off in that judgment for over 400 years. Those were years when yet the witness was available to these people. Those were years when mercy held back the thunder clouds of divine vengeance. And yet these men and their people paid no heed. They paid no heed to divine threatening. They paid no heed to divine warning. They paid no heed to presages of judgment. And they paid no heed to the tender voice of mercy. They had no time for God, no thought for God. But their insensibility to the things of God did not change the fact that God had concluded them guilty and that God had threatened vengeance upon them. To the sins of their immorality and their idolatry, their sins of open ungodliness, they added the crowning sin against grace. For we read that what stirred them up on this occasion was the sight of the Gibeonites, a neighboring city, making peace with Joshua. They must have been amazed at how Joshua had treated the Gibeonites. They knew that he had entered into a league with them, that he had saved them alive, that he had brought them under a contract the like of which the world had never seen, and which no conquering nation had ever offered to a conquered people before, and sometimes I think after. They knew all this, and if the righteousness of God had stirred them up to hatred, the grace of God stirred them even further, and they hated that grace with a perfect hatred. What sin? And that's what brought them under condemnation. They form for us a perfect picture of the natural man. Paul spoke of the natural man in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 9. He says that we have proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. Then he gives a description of what it is for men to be under sin. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good. Their throat is like an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips. He says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And he concludes his great statement by saying that all the world thereby becomes guilty before God. There is a picture of the natural man. The Bible does not in any way gloss over the sins of the human heart. The Bible does not set out to make people feel good about themselves. The Bible is not into this positive self-image rubbish. The Bible is not into the false gospel of self-esteem. In fact, the Bible takes the very opposite tact, and it tells you if you are ever to be saved, if you are ever to be right with God, if you are ever to have peace of conscience, and if you're ever to have peace of mind, then first you must lose all esteem for yourself. You must recognize yourself to be what God says you are, a sinner by birth, a sinner by character, a sinner by works, a sinner by choice, a sinner whose mind is darkened, whose heart is depraved, whose will is set against God, and whose every breath is breathed in open rebellion against God. And until a man recognizes that, there is no hope for him. Until he feels and recognizes the wickedness and the guiltiness, the filthiness and the ungodliness of his own soul, he will never sue for mercy. God says, there is none righteous, none that doeth good, none that seeketh after God, none, but that is a sinner. And to all this open sin, the added sin against grace and gospel. If the law of God reckons men to be sinners and exposes their sin, how much more the gospel? If it is crime to walk by Mount Sinai and trample the law of God beneath ungodly feet, how much greater is the crime of walking by Mount Calvary and trampling the blood of the Son of God beneath your feet? There are people in this meeting this morning who have been brought up under the sound of the gospel of grace. They have at every tender invitation the grace of God can afford. They have at every advantage that an open Bible and a preached gospel can give. And to the sins of wicked ungodliness, they have added that of despising the grace of God. They have counted the blood of the covenant as an unclean thing. And they have said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's why the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What an insight into the life of the ungodly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.